In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Talking about Jesus. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. Say life. And the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So you could say it this way. In Him was the light of men. In Christ. If you're in Christ, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that. And yet, it tells us, I believe in John chapter 8, that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So which is it? Is He the light of the world, or are you the light of the world? Both. Both. He's in you, and you're in Him, and we're in each other. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness cannot put out light, but light dispels darkness. And you and I are that light. That's why Jesus was singing, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. Because we're the light in the earth today. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the earth. We'll look at that scripture in a little bit. And He says, city, you don't put a light under a bushel or anything. No, you set it up high for everybody to see. You got to be proud you're a Christian. You get to be proud because that's the best decision you ever made. You're a smart person. Best decision you ever made. None more important. Not who you vote for, not who you marry, but what you do with Jesus. John chapter 8. We're close by. Let's just go over there. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now He's adding life. Light, life. But you notice this is qualified by what? Whether you follow Him. You have to follow Him. Flip the page, or I have to flip my page over to verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed, if you abide in my word. See, there's always that choice you have not to. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amplified says, if you abide in my word, if you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. We're the light of the world. We have to let our light shine. I want to talk to you today about being the light of the world. What does that mean? What does that look like? I learned that in Sunday school when I was a little kid. And for years and years, I held on to what I thought it meant, but it means a whole lot more than just you putting on a smiling face and saying, I'm a Christian. The world says, prove it. You say you're the light of the world, prove it. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew in the 5th chapter. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Anybody have a seasoned salt? You don't season salt. Salt is the seasoning. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. So we're in this shoulder to shoulder with Jesus because he's the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house or in your job surrounding or in Walmart. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That puts a whole new meaning on what the works are. Because in my life, I've never told anybody Jesus loves them, and just by saying that, they began to glorify God. Think about it. Think what this is saying. I have this on a beautiful plaque in my dining room, and I read it every day. Let your light so shine. So shine is the key here. So shine. What does that mean? How does it shine? So shine. Not just let it shine, let it so shine. So there's a way you can let it shine that's different than just it shining. You so shine. Two little letters makes all the world a difference. Because as the way you let your light shine, according to this scripture, says that the world is going to glorify God. Wow. Heathen are going to glorify God because of the way I so let my light shine. Just let that settle in for a minute. How do we so let our light shine? This isn't just words. This is how we're supposed to live. The world should know. Not just that you're a Christian. I don't even like using that word. I better clarify myself before everybody gets up and walks out. But Christian is a term that is just so used so loosely today. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Why are you a Christian? Well, you know, my parents went to church. That makes you a Christian? If we're truly Christ-like, then we're going to look like Christ. We're going to talk like Christ. We're going to imitate Christ. That will get the world glorifying God. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? When I got the revelation of that, because for decades I didn't know, and you're still probably saying, I still don't know. Some of you might be thinking, well, where's he going with this? So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Good works. Good works. I've heard lots of teaching about what good works are. And as I think over a lot of the good works that I was taught about, I never saw one heathen glorify God about them. If we're going to so let our light shine so that people glorify God, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be something to this. I said there's got to be something to this. Do you want to go on a journey with me? Let it soak in. Taking my time here on purpose. The first scripture we looked at, John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go back there for a minute. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we have life, We have light. We have so let your light so shine. And we have good works. And they're all connected. They're all connected. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. What area of your life today is in darkness? Just think about that. Because when you put light on it, it won't be in darkness anymore. Maybe it's a physical situation in your body. Get the light on it, and it will dispel the darkness. Darkness is of Satan. Satan wants to keep you in the dark. He doesn't want you to know. But Jesus said, you're the light. So you should know. If you don't know, where do we go? We go to the book. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. This is God talking to you. This is God talking to you, revealing His light. If Jesus is the light, and He's saying, friend, you're the light, then we've got to look like Jesus. We've got to act like Jesus. We've got to talk like Jesus. The world's got to say, that's one of those Jesus people. That's an honor. You know, when they first called them Christians, they weren't trying to honor them. That was a derogatory thing. Oh, those Christians. They're those Christ-like ones. They're those ones that keep talking about Jesus. And yet, over and over and over, what was the devil through men and, you know, people trying to say, don't talk about this name Jesus. Don't you dare to preach any more about this name Jesus. Why? Because that was the truth, and the darkness was trying to cover up the truth. But if you let your light shine, that can't happen. So in your life, when the devil comes and tries to put something on you, lie to you, fill your mind full of horrific things that you're not going to amount to anything. How many ever heard that as a child? You're stupid. You're just never going to grow up and make amount to anything. On and on and on. The enemy speaking darkness in you until your whole mind is full of darkness. But friend, if you're born again, you've got the light in you. You've got the light in you. If you've got the light in you, you've got to put the light on those things that were put in you, and you've got to dispel them. Well, don't you know that this situation, you got this heart problem? Don't you know your parents had the heart problem and the grandparents had the heart problem? It's been in generations in your family. Put the light on it. Dispel that. I believe I know what's happened in all those generations. They've all believed it, and so they've kept it. You can change it. You can dispel it by putting the light on it. So let your light shine, or let your light so shine. How did Jesus deal with the devil? Well, let's go and look. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 4, thank you. Because the world was full of light until darkness came. And we see in Luke's account here of Satan tempting Jesus, he was led, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's important there. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said you want to be filled. Not just dabble in, not just get a little bit. You want to be filled to overflow with the Spirit of God. That will help you so let your light shine. You can't do it in your own physical, carnal. You have it's spiritual. The light that we're to shine is spiritual light. Ooh. Spiritual light. I'm not going to get into it very deeply, but the Lord gave me a revelation of light. And he said, what is a laser? A laser is focused light. Focused light. It's different than just light. So let your light shine. Let it so shine. Does it just shine like a wide beam flashlight? Or is it focused? Does it go to something and change something? Now, laser is an acronym. It means light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. That's a mouthful. It's an acronym. It's amplified light, focused light that goes to a situation. It dispels darkness, dispels sickness, dispels lack, dispels bondage in your mind that's been building and building and building and building, and the weight that we've carried and all the lies of the enemy that we've yielded to, and they're just carried upon us. When Jesus said, God said, you cast your cares to me. The only way you can know for sure that you ain't got them anymore and that you've really given them to him, you've got peace. You've got peace. If you're still anxious, you didn't give it to him. Focused light. What will a laser do? Anybody here work with lasers? They'll cut through steel, just like butter. A laser will cut through steel, just like a butter knife cutting through butter. Focused light. Focused light. It's not funny I should mention it. That's by the Spirit of God. A laser treatment. Jesus can do a laser treatment on your eyes. Focused light. Let your light so shine. Let your life so be focused that the world comes to you because you've got answers. I know so many people that work in, you know, places and you know, you kind of get ridiculed and talked down because you're one of those Christ-like ones. But whenever there's a problem, they come in and close the door and they begging you, would you pray with me? So-and-so's got this condition. So-and-so's, my kids have run off and got into drugs. And they want you to pray. Let your light so shine that the world comes to you. They stop you at Walmart. They stop you at the gas station and say, I don't know why I'm coming over to you, but I see light. And you've got the answer. The light that Jesus walked. Why did multitudes follow him? Because he was the light. Multitudes should be following us because of the light. It dispels darkness. It dispels sickness. But the darkness comes back with chatter, chatter, chatter. You didn't get that. That's not real. So you stay focused, focused, focused. You keep the laser going. He won't cross that laser line. He'll get cut right in half. Picture that. Picture that. A little imp of a demon trying to put something on you. Maybe he already put something on you. Dispel it. Light will dispel that darkness. That's funny. None of that was in my notes. Luke chapter 9. Go there with me. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is the light. You are the light. How do I let my light so shine? Same way Jesus did. Hold your place right there and go to John 14. We're coming right back there. John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is so much better than my notes. John chapter 14. Here, Thomas is having a tussle. Philip, believing. Show us the Father. Jesus said, if you'd known me, verse 7, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said, Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? Have you not been coming to church so long, and you don't know? Come on. Who has seen me? Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you even say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you. I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now we're getting somewhere. The works Jesus did. Because people glorified God when they saw the works Jesus did. I said the world glorified God when they saw the works Jesus did. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most truly I say to you, most truly. I mean, he's getting your attention here. This is big. Most truly. I say to you, the old English is verily, verily. Kids, listen up. Get this. He who believes in me, how many believe in him? Get ready. Get ready for what he's about to drop now. It's a bomb. It's a bomb right here. The works that I do, he will do also. Let's just let him take a breath before we get to the next part. Most truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Say, I will do also. And he did say, and greater works than these. How about we start doing the works first? Then we'll get to the greater works. And I've heard preachers for years say, well, the greater works is salvation. I'm not going to dispute that with anybody. But as I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I see Jesus doing miracles and getting the world to glorify God. He didn't keep saying, Jesus loves you. He demonstrated he loved you. He demonstrated. Big difference between knowing it and doing it. That's why he said, if you continue in my word, if you hold fast to my teachings and be a doer of the word. His brother James said. Now, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What this is not talking about is praying. It's not talking about praying here. The word ask, that word in the Greek, ask, is a Greek word, and it's pronounced aheteo, or something like that. And it means to put a demand on. Put a demand on. He says you put a demand on what? Not on God. But if we're doing what Jesus did, what did he do when he demanded something. He demanded a demon would come out of somebody. He commanded a spirit of infirmity to come off someone. He spoke health and wholeness and healing to people. Whatever you demand in my name, go to Mark, hold your place. You got, how many fingers have you got? Well, I've got you holding back in Luke. Go to Mark now. See, we're covering all the Gospels. Mark 16. Get there quickly with me. Mark 16. How many got it? All right. Jesus says, this is the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, some people think that's all we're supposed to be doing is preaching, preaching, preaching. That's not what he said in Acts chapter 1. He said, you wait till the power comes on you and you'll be witnesses. You'll be evidence providers. That's what the world needs, is evidence to prove Jesus is Lord. You don't need to hear another little jingle of a song. They want to see something. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not, he's in trouble. He'll be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. What does it say? They'll cast out devils. He didn't say you'd pray to God and ask him anything about doing anything about the devil. In my name, use the name of Jesus, the name that was conferred upon him, that's above every name. It's above lack. It's above sickness. It's above pain. It's above disease. The name of Jesus. Use the name. Just like Scott would use a skill saw to rip a board. Use the name of Jesus to let your light so shine. And command and demand. Command and demand. You don't ask, Mr. Devil, if you'd kindly leave, would you please? Pretty please? You know, I'm a Christian. You've got to know that you know that you know. What does that mean? That means you need to believe. Starts with believing. Starts with believing. You can't let your light so shine if you don't believe. We should be, when we go to Walmart, we should be bumping in. Don't you think there's other Christians in Walmart when we go there? It's a busy place. We should be seeing things happen all over Walmart. I'm telling you, it's coming. I said it's coming. You look at the early church, and it was by the bucket loads, getting the world's attention. It said they're adding to the church daily, thousands. Why? Because they saw something that was powerful. They saw the truth. And there's really no early church, later church. We're all the church. The church, it's still being written. Acts is still being written. You and I are in there. That book is so long because all the works that have been done since the beginning are being added in that. It's being recorded. And your name's in there. So in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it'll be no by any means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In my name. In my name. In my name. Let your light so shine. There's power there. There's power in the name. Where did I tell you to hold your place? Luke something. Luke 9, thank you. I knew it was Luke something. I knew exactly what it's where Jesus is sending out his disciples. Verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power. Say power. And authority over a couple of demons that were on the block that day. No. All. And to cure diseases. All diseases. Look at verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So we've got the light. Jesus is the light. You're the light. We have the life. We have the word. Now we have the kingdom. Power and authority in the kingdom. In the kingdom. Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Out from the power and authority of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We follow what Jesus did to let us so let our light shine. Let it so shine. Have to do it his way. What did he do? He sent him out with power and authority. Take out the demons. You take out the demons, you take out the source of the sickness. Then you release the healing power of God and healing comes. But you have to believe it. You have to do the believing. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now he's sending out a bucket load of them, 70 of them. He said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. You know that's still true today? I need more laborers. I need more help. I need more help in every area. To do what God's called me to do, I need help. Send them two by two. Said the harvest is truly great, laborers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You notice what the prayer is? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. To send out laborers. What's this thing about I'm a Christian and I sit in a chair every Sunday for an hour or two? He said, send out these laborers. You're sent out ones. Sent out ones. To let your light so shine that people glorify God. I want that. I want that badder and badder and badder. Or gooder and gooder and gooder. Heal the sick, say to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. See how it's all connected now. The kingdom of God, the light. Jesus is the light. You're the light. Jesus is the word. You use the word. Use the word just like a tool. Like, use the name of Jesus. Use the word. Speak the word. He said, in my name, cast devils out. How do you do that? With words. He didn't say, talk to me about your problems. All right. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 11. Some of you know where I'm going. Subhutisi karata. Omoshe karate siladota. Ora bagata. So what is the area in your life that has darkness in it? Put the light on it. Put the light on it. I said, put the light on it. Put that laser light. That's focused light. If you have a specific situation in your life right now, you need to get specific, focused, laser light about that situation right now. You don't need to be reading starting in Genesis chapter 1. You need to find, because the word says in Proverbs chapter 4, hold your place in Mark. Oh, I'll just go there. You just hold on to your seat so you don't fall out. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? They're life to those who find them. They do nothing if you don't find them. They're just words in a book. How tenacious will you be to go find the word? How much of a pit bull will you be to find the word and then latch onto it? You know, you give a pit bull or any other kind of a dog a bone, and they don't know you, and you try to take it away from them, you're going to come out pretty mangled. You don't go messing with a dog's bone. Well, devil, you don't go messing with my family. Devil, you don't go messing with my body. Devil, you don't go messing with my finances. My kids, on and on. My job. They're life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Focused, laser-focused word on your situation. I tell people this all the time. Find just one or two or three scriptures that go off like dynamite. Anybody in here know anything about dynamite? It goes kaboom, doesn't it? Rattles everything. Find a word. The word's in there. There's a word in here for everybody that will set you to dancing, set you to screaming, get you excited. There's a word. If you don't have it yet, find it. If you still can't find it, you call me and my wife. We'll find it with you. We will. I'm not just wasting air up here today. I want your lives transformed. I want you set free. I want you delivered. I want you to be able to let your light so shine that the world glorifies God. And all we have time on Sunday morning for is testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of how good God is. But we haven't been doing our part. It's not God's fault. We haven't been doing our part. How diligent have you been with the word? How tenacious are you at holding on to it? Keep your heart. The next verse. Keep your heart with just a little bit of trying. Somebody tell me what that says. With all what? Diligence. You got to be diligent. Why? Because the devil is. He's coming after you. Every one of you. Coming after me. What am I going to do? I'm going to let my light so shine that it burns his retinas out. Mark 11. I walked away, so I didn't keep my finger there. So I got to re-find it. Mark 11. Verse 12. Now, the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. How many know Jesus got hungry? And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. He was hungry. He wanted some figs. We just go to get Fig Newtons at the supermarket. Jesus went to a tree and found figs. Probably had no modified gluten and DNA, all that stuff they're doing, modifying, and he had good ones. And so when he got to it, he found nothing but leaves. That confused me for many, many, many years. But fig trees, when the leaves come up, that's when the fruit comes out. This particular fig tree, not everyone, I believe. But in this area of the region, just say hello, we're having a good time. This area, this region, the figs would come out the same time as the leaves. So when he saw leaves on the tree from far away, he expected to see some figs on it. When he got there, he did not see any figs on it. Problem, that's a perverted tree. God did not create that tree to not produce figs. I don't know what happened, but I do know it was perverted. And Jesus noticed that too. And so what did he do? He didn't have Gene Bunyan to come cut it down with a chainsaw. That's what I do. And he's good at it. But Jesus spoke to it. Now I know he's really off his rocker, is what the boys were saying when they're walking with him. He's talking to trees now. Don't you think that was the discussion of the night when they got alone? It's like, he's been out in the hot sun too much. He's delirious. He's telling this tree, what did he say? Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. That's important that they heard it. Because he did it for their benefit to see how he operated when perversion came into the earth. When perversion comes into your life, you're supposed to deal with it. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Now in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Isn't that interesting? Dried up from the roots. The thing just shriveled up. I picture that old wicked witch in the Wizard of Oz there, and she shrivels up. That's what this tree did. And Peter reminded him, saying, Rabbi, look! I wonder how it came out of his mouth when he's bringing it to Jesus' attention. The fig tree which you cursed was withered away. And Jesus said, golly, I didn't know that would happen. Don't you have fun reading the word? I just get lost reading it and just have a ball. I mean, if you were one of the disciples with Jesus, what would you have said to him? And what would you have said that night? You would have said a lot of things. Come on. Give me that look. That holy then now look. Oh, no, I wouldn't say that to the master. Yeah, yeah, you would. And so Peter does. And Jesus answered and said to them disciples that heard it, have faith in God. What in the world does that got to do with not having figs on that tree? Have faith in God? Have faith in God. He's teaching us something here. Don't miss it. Don't let the humor of it. I'm just trying to get you to not get offended here. Because Jesus is speaking to a fig tree. And what I'm going to tell you in a few minutes, you're going to probably get offended, tempted to. Because we have a responsibility here in this earth. Have faith in God, for truly, assuredly, I say to you, whoever, how many whoevers do we have in here this morning? Whoever says to this mountain, now I believe there was literally a mountain there that he pointed to and said, man, you could say to this mountain, when you have the faith of God operating in your life, you can move a mountain. Be removed. What's your mountain today? It needs to hear your voice. Be removed. If there's something going on in your life that's a perversion of God's creation in man, sickness, disease, whatever, relationships, your mind is just so, you're just so messed up in your mind from years and years, and it made you go to drugs. Now your mind's even messed up even more because you've been taking drugs. God set you free in an instant. In an instant. Be removed, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. What will he have? Whatever he believes in his heart that he says. I'm always trying to not really trick you, but get you to see the importance of the word. He didn't just say whatever you say. He said whatever you believe in your heart. Therefore, I say to you, now he's going to teach us about prayer. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When do I believe? When I pray. Nobody wants to say anything now. When I pray. You mean I'm not supposed to believe when I get it? No. There's no belief necessary at all. Can't be belief once you see it. I know it. It's right there. No believing necessary. This is Jesus teaching you how to let your light so shine. I wonder what I wrote down. Does it even matter? All right, when we were in Luke 9 and, or was it Matthew? I don't remember now. When we saw, he sent out his disciples. And then in chapter 10, he sent out 70. And what did he say to them? He said, you go heal. You go, you know, he even said, raise the dead. But he said, when they receive you, tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God. Luke 17, go there with me. If you have to leave, just leave, because I can't shut this down right now. The Spirit of God is not allowing me to. Come on. This is getting gooder. Shh. I'm going to run in a minute. Shh. Now, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, you know them Pharisees, those fair-weather Christians. They weren't Christians. And the Sadducees. Oh, it was so sad, you see. When the kingdom of God would come. Jesus, when's the kingdom coming? And Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Huh? Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Everything you need is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The light of the world is within you. You just need to learn how to let it so shine. It's in here. Laser-focused light that would cut through steel buildings. You have more power in the light that's inside of you. But you've got to learn how to let it so shine so that it's effective. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. That thing cursed up. Cursed from the roots and shriveled up. Over and over, you study the Gospels and you see what Jesus did. I've gone through all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've written down every single time, longhand, where Jesus touched a situation, healed people, turned water into wine, whatever. Every single situation that Jesus, and that's our example of how we let our light so shine. We do it like him. Now, I've heard some people say, well, yeah, that was Jesus. He's God. Yes, Jesus is God. But he didn't do one thing on this earth other than going to the cross as God. Actually, he went to the cross as a man, submitted. He had stripped himself, it says in Philippians chapter 2, of all his divine authority and all of his divine power. And how did he defeat the devil? Luke chapter 4, we didn't read that. You read that chapter. He spoke to the devil. He said, it's written. It's written. I said, it's written, devil. It's written, devil. You've got to tell the devil it's written, but you've got to know it's written. If you don't know it's written, you can't speak to him. And he keeps on talking to you. And confusing. But if you know it's written, you can say, no, devil, that's a lie. Do you know lies, when people receive lies and they don't realize they're lies, they believe it to be the truth. That's their perception. It's still a lie, but they believe it to be the truth. You've got to know the truth. When it comes to dealing with Satan, you've got to know the truth. You can't fall for a lie. See, Eve fell for a lie. Has God truly said? Putting doubt in her mind. Has he really said that you can't eat from the fruit of the trees? He just said one. What does that make him look like? He's withholding. He's a hard person. He created you and it's going to be hard. No. At that point, they'd know nothing but perfection. But the lie came. The lie came. She was deceived. Adam is just a dummy. What was he supposed to do? He was given dominion. He was supposed to run that thing out of there. Here's some word of wisdom for you. Anytime a snake starts talking to you, tell it to get out. Don't even talk to it. So the kingdom of God is inside of us. When Jesus sent them out, he said, tell them the kingdom of God is here. Wait a minute, I'm here. Yes, the kingdom of God is here. What did he say to do when you get there? If there's healing necessary, heal somebody. If there's lack, he said, don't bring anything. Don't bring an extra shirt. Don't bring clothes. Don't bring food. Don't bring money. What is he saying? Rely on me. Rely on me. Supernaturally, I'll provide for everything. Don't fall for the lie of the devil that tells you you're not going to get all your bills paid this month. Shut up, devil. The kingdom does not come with observation the way they thought, but the kingdom of God does come with observation as we let our light so shine. And the world will glorify God. It's coming. You mark my words. It's coming where they're going to be lined up out here at the door before we get the doors open. And you've been so used to having your seat where you sit all the time, and now you're going to be fighting for your seat. And I'm going to ask you right now, every one of you, give up your seats for the puns coming in. Don't you notice how everybody sits in the same place? Why? It's your seat. You try sitting in Connie's seat. Look out. But Connie, when you come driving down and see the traffic jam all the way out to Parade Road here or North Main Street, and you can't even get your car up here, oh, I just had a vision of them just opening the doors of the prison here and letting them all come to church. They're all walking over to take your seat. So the kingdom is in us. The light is in us. Jesus is in us. Holy Spirit's in us. What are we doing about the situations in our life? Do we just keep on talking about them? Do we just keep posting them on Facebook that, you know, life really sucks? And I don't know. I don't get on Facebook. Please don't try to contact me that way. It's my wife might have to show me. But anyway, what is the area in your life that you need the light, the focused laser light focused on? Because I know they use lasers in medical stuff to, like, they do that for eye surgery and stuff. They don't even use the knife anymore. They're using a laser. Let's take some instruction from our medical doctors. Use the word of God like a laser. Focus his word on your problem. Don't go to God about your problem. He never asked us to. Did we ever get to that? Yeah, in Mark 11. You speak to that mountain. Now, if you find yourself in a place where you've spoken and you need some help, well, then by all means, get two or more agreeing together. I found about a dozen different ways physically where you can get healing. Stay at it until you get it. I tell you, the last two nights, we've been watching Miracles on the Mountain. You see that? You see that? How many have seen that? Praise God. Is it tonight too? It was this morning. If I'd have had a supersonic jet, I'd have been there last night and been back here this morning. You'd have never known. And my wife says to me, it's coming. I mean, she says, how could you watch a secular TV show when for 3 hours we just were captivated by lives being changed? I can't wait to see the one that had that big. He had this growth the size of a tennis ball on his eye. Hideous looking thing. Lost his eyesight. Jesus is healing him. The power of God is active in his body right this moment. Anybody, doesn't matter. Dr. Nasser Siddiqui, he used to be a Muslim and he's got born again. He actually got healed in a Catherine Coleman service. He was 4 years old and had brain cancer. And he's in the ministry now. And when he was a young man, so he's called at an early age, and he's seen things he was a young, maybe 19, 20 years old, and he got shingles. And I always just knew what shingles were up on the roof. I didn't know what they were. But he looked like a horror monster. It was all over his face. And he took the word of God like a laser. And he was healed of that. He was healed of brain cancer. They gave him just a couple weeks to die. And he had a relative that got him up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania when Catherine Coleman was there. Before she passed on. And now he's carried on. His wife had multiple sclerosis and was in bed for 2 years. Couldn't get out of bed for 2 years. And she took the word of God and was tenacious like a dog with a bone. That she's not going to let you take the word away from her. And she's in the ministry today. Beautiful woman. But had so many diseases come on her because of that and the medication that at first, and finally she said, no more. I'm going with God. The kingdom of God's inside of us. We have to believe in our hearts. Quickly, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Oh, that's Acts. That's good, but that's not what I wanted. Did I say Acts or Romans? That's correct. Romans 10. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. Where is the word in your life? It says it needs to be in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation includes healing. Salvation includes prosperity. Salvation includes peace of mind. Salvation includes the joy of the Lord. Salvation includes all of the gifts of the Spirit. It includes the fruit of the Spirit. It's all ours, friend. It's all been put inside of us. But the faith which we speak, faith is simply this. It's your response to what God's already done. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. The grace of God is what he does. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. Didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. But you have to receive it by faith. That's the faith part. The faith is the receiving part. The trusting him part and saying, God, I know your word is true. Therefore, I believe it and receive it. That's all faith is. If you had faith as a tiny little mustard seed, he said you'd move a mountain. He said you'd speak to this tree and tell that to go into the ocean. So we don't need huge bucket loader size faith. We need pure faith. Mustard seed size faith, pure. That means you're not listening to the other report. You're not listening to the devil. You're not listening to Dear Abby or anybody else that thinks they've got a better idea for you. You're listening to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise.